Since last December, the beginning of this new church year, we have proclaimed throughout the year the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke is probably the most beloved of all the four Gospels. I say that because we find our favorite parables in the Gospel of Luke: the Good Samaritan, the Prodigal Son. It is also the Gospel of Luke that raises up women and outcasts and those who had no place. It is a wonderful gospel, but it is also known as the Gospel of the Table. The Gospel of the Table, because every time you turn around in Luke's gospel, there is Jesus at a table, sitting, talking, eating, drinking. Earlier in my introductory remarks before the gathering hymn, I suggested that if the cross of Christ were not the chief symbol of our Christian faith, then it would be the table. The table. It should be, maybe, the table. We know a lot more about tables than we know about crosses, right? I mean, every child is taught from an early age what you can do and what you cannot do at the table. No elbows on the table, no talking with your mouth full. If you have multiple forks, start with the furthest one on the left. This would be your left. We know something also about table service. You serve from the left and you take from the right. There ought to be a footnote there, because I learned this when I was catering in seminary. If it's a formal table, you always take from the left and serve from the left. Well, anyway, if you're really concerned about those kinds of things, I'd like to suggest to you this afternoon that you listen to Lynn Rosetta Caspar, who has that wonderful radio program on National Public Radio called The Splendid Table. She is a fantastic speaker. She knows everything there is to know about the table: food, guests, appreciation, culture. Probably somebody who enjoyed table fellowship more than others was Jesus. It seems that every other story in the Gospel of Luke has Jesus at a table, where at some point in the table he takes his glass and he goes ding, 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 and he says something like, "The kingdom of God is like a banquet, a wedding banquet, perhaps." And more often than not, the people he speaks to, his dinner companions, are the least of these. They are the sinners, public sinners like tax collectors, petty thieves, and women of the night. But not today. Not in today's gospel. Today, Jesus has made the A-list. He has been invited to sit and sup with some of the town's finest families, the usual collection of well-heeled folks who regularly adorn the society page. Of course, this would lead to concern on the part of Jesus' closest friends, the usual suspects. They're afraid that Jesus might commit some kind of social error. You know how he is likely to say something completely dreadful, insulting not only his foes, but his friends as well. "Did you know that the kingdom of God is like a banquet?" Now, one might even think that when Jesus first compared dinner to a wedding banquet in today's gospel, that those who were gathered at the table, remember, these are the best of the best, that they were thinking, "Well, of course the kingdom of God is like a banquet." And they could see themselves sitting there because they were the righteous ones and they had the success to prove it. They had the success not just in business, but in home and family as well, culture and education, but mostly in being righteous. And so, of course, they were nodding their heads and giving approval to the idea that, yes, the kingdom of God is like a banquet, and we surely can see ourselves sitting at God's table. And by all means, Jesus went on. But suddenly something happened. The splendid table became the unsplendid table. What the evangelist St. Luke does not tell us is that in those days, the very rich and well-to-do opened the front and back door so that the very poor could gather to watch. And now you're thinking, I've never heard that. Where'd you get that nonsense at? Oh, that's easy. You don't think the rich like to be written up on the society pages as to who they had dinner with and where they had dinner and who they had their picture taken with? My favorite part is not what they had to eat, but what they ate out of is often reported and what they drank out of is often important. When you don't have a daily newspaper in Jerusalem, you just simply invite the onlookers to gather at the door so that they can watch you eat and watch you enjoy. And so there they were, the lobbyists, the software moguls, the congressional types, and the tennis shoe gurus, all gathered around in the places of honor, being watched by those at the front and back door, the poor and the needy, the street people, the undocumented, those who couldn't afford health care, the terminally ill, the addicts, the hanger-on, the looky-loos, and those who often get stopped and frisked. Social convention in those days allowed these folks just inside the door to admire the privileged as they noshed and nattered. Now, I know that sounds strange, but that was the way it was in those ancient days. Not much different than today's society page. Luke tells us that Jesus prattled on that evening at the table. His words are addressed to the invited guests, but the uninvited obviously heard it too. And no doubt they were shocked and surprised. Could it be possible that Jesus was saying that they should be invited to the table? That they should receive the places of honor? And surely those who were sitting at the table were becoming more than just a little annoyed. But you know how it is with the well-heeled. They never let you know that they're perspiring. And so they just sort of glanced at each other knowingly and looked at their watches and said, okay, he might be a celebrity, this Jesus of Nazareth, but his 15 minutes are up. Or maybe not. And those at the door had their hands over their mouths looking at each other like, are you kidding me? Seriously? We should be invited to that table? Really? God wants to sit with us? Exactly. That is exactly what Jesus was telling in this story. That God's table is not the splendid table. That God is the equal opportunity host. The kingdom of God is like a banquet, Jesus said. Well, here we are some 2,000 years later, trying to get this table thing sorted out. Here in this church, we display the cross of Christ to remind us of how we got to the table, what it is that God did for us in forgiving our sins and promising us eternal life. But the cross of Jesus Christ is not complete without this table. The Eucharistic table is the unsplendid table, and it reminds us of how we are to live out that salvation that Jesus Christ has won for us with his own body and blood and given to us. A cynic once said Jesus preached the kingdom of God, and what we got instead was the church. Yes, the church. It is a long way from the kingdom, and yet it is a sign. It is a sign from God that we have a better chance of being able to receive the kingdom of God by living in the shadow of it, the church. For here we are this morning at the unsplendid table. It is the table around which we will gather, the place we come when we haven't been very good signs of the kingdom to others. I know what my sins are. I have a pretty good idea what some of your sins are, but all of us come as a ragtag group, a bunch of misfits, people undeserving to sit at a table where God sits with us. We have done nothing on our own to merit this, and yet in the waters of holy baptism we have been born again. And God has looked us in the eye and said, look, come, be with me. You are my beloved child. And so we come to this table together, and we are given the food of faith, the promise of forgiveness, the promise of a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance and a fifth chance, as many chances as we'll need in our lifetime. And we can't show them that love unless we invite them to the unsplendid table, those who are not here. I'm going to ask you to turn around now. Seriously, I'm going to ask you to turn around and look at that door. You see that door? There's nobody standing at that door listening. Nobody. What it is the church is called to do is to make sure that those who aren't there are invited to come and to be part of the group that sits at a table where God sits with them. You know how I know God wants to sit with them? You know how I know God wants to sit with us? I came to the table once, and I was surprised that God was standing next to me, or kneeling, or sitting. But God leaned into my ear and said, "You are welcome at this table." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.